If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. I am so excited that you are tuning in for this very special episode today, because today I'm going to have Cindy Chan joining me. Cindy is a recruiter turned career coach. And after working as a headhunter and corporate recruiter for Canada's top 100 employers for over 20 years, she made in 2022 a bold pivot into career coaching. As a career coach, she helps people who are in career transitions by equipping them with the modern job search strategies. She is the host of the Inside the Recruiter's Mind LinkedIn Live series, where job seekers get proven and practical job search strategies from recruiters and career coaches so that they can land their dream jobs faster. Welcome, Cindy. I am so excited for you to join us today.
Hello. Hello, Teresa. Hello, everyone.
It is so good to have you here, and I'm so excited because we're not just tapping into your story and your career transition and your experience as a recruiter, but also really unpacking your Sparkotype profile and seeing how these insights can guide your next career steps.
Yes, super excited. I'm based out in Toronto, so good afternoon, everybody.
I am in Hawaii, so for me, it is 10 o'clock in the morning. You're already in the afternoon, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. So your Sparkotype profile, I usually start there. The Sparkotype assessment is an amazing assessment because it's not one that just helps us find what we're good or bad at. It really helps us figure out what energizes us and what drains us. And it's so powerful when we can find work that allows us to lean into what energizes us. And you've taken the Sparkotype assessment, right, Cindy? Do you mind sharing what your Sparkotype profile is?
Absolutely. So it's really interesting. It took me about like roughly about half an hour to do the test. A little bit surprised about the results, and I'm happy to share with you guys what my spark type is. So my primary spark type, it's actually the nurturer. Okay. And then I have a shadow spark type, which is the sage. And my anti-spark type, it's the maker.
Super interesting. So for our listeners who are not familiar with the Sparkotype assessment, thanks for introducing the three components. So we're going to start with the primary Sparkotype, which generally tends to be the work that is the strongest impulse for work that makes us feel alive and on purpose and in a flow. And in your case, that is the nurturer. So the nurturer is, the slogan is, I've got you. Nurture is all about giving care and support. And you often give care, take care, offer support, see, hear, and hold others. And you help lift others up and walk beside them when you're needed. You're deeply empathic. And when you see and often feel unease, pain, or suffering others, you seek to ease it in a very personal, hands-on way. Did that resonate with you?
Yeah, it did. So actually, as I was reading the report, when I read that my primary spark type, it's the nurturer, it didn't caught me by surprise, because I do feel that when I am in an activity where I am nurturing or helping other people, it's when I find my most joy. Okay. So as I was thinking about examples while reading my report, I thought about, oh, okay, interesting. Like when I was a former recruiter, I often find myself helping job seekers understanding their skill sets or perhaps help them navigate their job search, support them in the interview process. And then similarly, in a capacity right now as a career coach, some of these responsibilities are fairly similar. And then at home, you know, as a wife, I'm also an elder sister. So I also find myself, you know, enjoying giving care to my family members.
Oh, yeah. And it seems, and I can feel that when I talk to you, that you just have this beautiful nurturing quality about you and you make people feel really heard and seen.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
And are those the moments that you also feel really energized by, that when you get to be there for someone else, that it fills your battery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. So I think it's really interesting to learn that when I am in a capacity where I'm listening or caring about others, I feel like there's a lot of energy to give. Like it doesn't take a lot of effort. Like I don't know if that makes sense. It feels like, oh, I'm plugged to like a power supply that I can do this activity pretty much all day. It's not draining.
This was the most perfect description of what the work of the Sparkotype makes you feel.
Interesting. Okay. Well, because it's my first time learning about the Sparkotype report. And I'm, you know, interested in hearing about from you, like, have you met other nurturers in your lifetime? Like, what kind of occupation do they usually find themselves in?
The beautiful thing with the Sparkotype is, and we'll dive deeper into how to translate it into a career, but that there's so many, there's almost every possible job you can lean into it. So if you'd be in customer service, you could really lean into that nurturing and finding those moments where you get to build that nurturing and caring time. If you're in a caregiving role, that obviously is a big chunk of your time. But it also, as a coach, right, as a recruiter, as anytime you work with other humans, you have opportunities to lean into it.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Aligning the career finding a career where you have lots of those moments is the one that's going to be really energizing in general.
Okay. Terrific. Yeah. Good to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're going to dive deeper into it, but let's touch on on your shadow for a second, which is the sage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the sages are all about awakening inside. Your sage impulse is to illuminate, teach, and elevate. You live to share insights, ideas, knowledge, and experiences with others in a way that leaves them in some way better, wiser, and more equipped to experience life differently. You spark when something you teach or share sparks something in that other person that has them wanting to learn more. Does that resonate with you as well?
Okay. So, this is something that I love to uncover a little bit more.
Yeah.
When I read the report, it mentioned about like teaching.
Mm-hmm.
It mentioned about like training, like illuminating, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, that's really interesting. And I try to take some time to see, okay, well, have I seen myself in a teaching capacity? Mm-hmm. And the answer is yes. So early in my 20s, I had volunteer jobs where I was teaching children art classes.
Yeah.
Somehow that brought me a lot of happiness. Like watching them grow, like seeing them acquire a new skill actually brought me a lot of satisfaction. And then fast forward, you know, in the work setting, oftentimes as I grew my career, I was leading a team and I've got junior recruiters where I was mentoring. So there was a lot of opportunity for me to transfer my knowledge, like teaching them, recruiting best practices and whatnot. So again, that was something that I find a lot of meaning to it.
Mm-hmm.
Brought me a lot of joy as well. And fast forward to today, I think as a career coach, and maybe this is something that I'd love you to chime in, In my coaching session, definitely there's a lot of knowledge transfer and teaching candidates the how to and whatnot. And posting on LinkedIn or sharing my knowledge in language, I wonder if that could be a possibility, or maybe hosting a workshop. I wonder if that would also fall into the same similar category.
100%, yes. So CHS, they're about sharing that knowledge. And that can be in so many different ways. That can be in a classroom. It can be one-on-one. It can be in the workplace where you teach customers or you teach clients or you teach other employees. Or it can be virtual, right? Where we're writing a blog, sharing right now on this LinkedIn Live, sharing knowledge. And you have your own LinkedIn Live. So all of that, anytime you share knowledge, posting on LinkedIn, 100% you can lean into the sage and sharing the knowledge that you have.
Okay, awesome. And so how about outside of work? What about if I notice that I find a lot of interest and passion transferring or teaching my cooking skills to other people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
that
was great, because the Sparkotype, it's not just paid work, it's really for all our life. And the more we can lean into it, paid work and unpaid work outside of work, the more we're sparked in life in general. So yeah, I love that you also share your cooking recipes.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, maybe the cooking recipe is a good example. A lot of times, so we have our primary Sparkotype and the shadow Sparkotype. A lot of times, the shadow Sparkotype doesn't give us quite, we're really good at it. Generally, the shadow Sparkotype is we're really good at it. And the majority of people I work with, they say, oh, I'm surprised that wasn't my primary. But when we're thinking about going back into this that you described so beautiful, and like you feel like plugged into a power supply that doesn't run dry, usually it's the primary Sparkotype that can feel like that, where we can just keep going and going and we're just energized. And the shadow, we like doing, but doesn't give us, it's almost not the same level of energizing. But when we can use it to do the work of our primary better, that's then the magic happens. So I'm wondering, is when you have moments where you get to share knowledge with others, and that allows you to give care, support them, nurture them, if that is the most fulfilling moments for you.
Interesting. Okay. So lately, I actually stepped out of my comfort zone back in April by hosting LinkedIn Live, and the series is Inside the Recruiter's Mind. And essentially, I have myself and my guests to come on, and we share knowledge regarding like different job search strategies. The idea basically is I wanted a platform, a place where job seekers can come and then get inspired, motivated, you know, with their job search. And it's an activity that I always look forward to. Okay. And now that I think the penny just dropped. I think it makes sense, because every time when I prepare for a LinkedIn Live, it feels like I am transferring knowledge, or maybe in a setting where I'm teaching or facilitating some sort of training. And then using that space to care about the people who I care deeply about, job seekers. Yeah. That makes total sense.
That is so beautiful how you just described that. And I can really, also in our last conversation, you had shared something that you would love to create a space where, because we all know that being a job seeker or changing careers is incredibly hard. And given the current market, it's even harder. And you had shared with me that you would envision this space that is a safe space for everyone to come to. And that is such a beautiful visual for me of like, okay, I want to care and nurture people who are going through a difficult time, and I want to be there and support them. And then if I can use my knowledge and teach them on top of that, that really creates this beautiful place for that people can feel safe coming to.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I named my company, Haven Care, because I picture it as a place where they can feel safe and they can just come as they are to learn, to share ideas, you know, maybe even share their struggles in their job search. And then they may walk in feeling X and then walk out feeling greater, more inspired and motivated. Yeah.
It's so beautiful to see how that really, it's not just something you're good at, but it's something you're good at and it makes you really come alive. I can feel that when you're speaking about it.
Thank you. This is really interesting. Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate this.
You're welcome. I also would love to talk about your anti-spark type, but do you have any, before we go there, do you have any thoughts or question on this nurture and sage? Is there anything else on your mind?
Not right now, but we can definitely come back to it if something popped up.
Yeah. I think we might come back to it. So the anti-spark type, again, it's nothing we're good or bad at. It is something that, the spark type assessment is something that energizes us and drains us. So for our anti-spark type, a lot of people are really good and skilled at it, but it is a heavier lift. So for me, it's for my anti is the advocate. I'm good at it. I can do the work, but if I had to do it all day, every day, it would drain my battery. So in your case, the anti is the maker. The maker is making ideas manifest. And having that as your anti suggests that the process of taking ideas and turning them into something that's real, like, can be a heavier lift. And it's that process of creation that is just might not come as natural. And you might prefer to have someone else to do the creating and then already have something in place that is functioning or put together or with clear direction that doesn't require any putting together. Does that resonate with you being a heavier lift?
Interesting. I would say yes, because you just mentioned it's an activity that I can do, but often it drains me, right? And we're talking about the maker, which is the type of work that requires creativity, like creating something from scratch, like from nothing to something, right? Okay. I may need some help with this.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think back my love and passion for recruitment and my love and passion for coaching.
I talked to a client yesterday and her primary was maker. And she talked about that there's nothing better than putting IKEA furniture together. She could do this all day, every day. And that would give her the feeling of being plugged into a power supply that doesn't run dry. And we talked about how fun it would be to take a computer apart and fix the circuit breaker. And those are the things that would make her get this energy supply. I wonder if that those examples could be some where you're like, I can do it, but I might be feeling a little more tired after.
Potentially, yes. So let me try to think. So it's like an activity that I'm creating and then I would feel completely exhausted after.
Not necessarily completely exhausted. It's more if you would do it all day, every day. So if your job would be every day, you're by yourself in an office building IKEA furniture.
Oh, that would not fly very well. That would not fly very well. And I'm thinking, okay. So this might be an example. So I'm in the process of learning what are some of the tools out there to create a website for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I'm doing my research and finally I selected one of the tools, not to embarrass myself, I don't want to say it out loud, but the process of creating the website drains me a lot.
That is the perfect example. Yes.
It's something that I can do it, but I often wonder why, like why?
And there's nothing wrong with it, right? We all have things that energize and drain us. And if Maker is your anti, building a website is going to be most likely to be a heavier lift. Just like for others, for me, it would be advocating, or a lot of people have performer as the anti, where public speaking is the heavier lift. So we all have something that is a heavier lift. And it's, can you do it? Yes. Would you want that as a job where you all day, every day would have to build websites? Probably not.
Not.
If you have to do it once, you're probably gonna, you can do it. But it's more being mindful of how much of that work do I want to do on a regular basis.
Got it, got it. So then that means for those individuals who are like me, who has the maker as their anti-spark, just be very careful with creation with putting things together from scratch, from nothing to something.
And it doesn't have to mean, right, that you shouldn't do it. Like there's the most common anti-sparker type is the performer, where that being on stage in the spotlight is the incredibly heavy lift. But I've talked to people who did that for a living. And but they're very clear, like, okay, I don't want to do it more than twice a week. And after that, I need an hour walk in nature to recharge my energy. So it
Got
would
it.
also be the thing, like, okay, I know I want to build the website and I can do it, but it's going to be a heavier lift. So I might give myself more grace of, okay. And then afterwards, maybe I can do something that really fills my cup again.
Got it. So it's like setting a healthy boundary for me in those activities who are very heavily draining. I can say to myself, okay, I'm going to give myself permission 1 hour to do this. And then after that, even though it's not fully completed, it's still okay for me to walk away and come back to it after.
And the other part is also all the sparker types, they exist on a spectrum of very process driven to very service driven. So the difference is, so I'm a very process-driven sparker type. I'm scientist essentialist, very process-driven. That means, so my primary is the scientist. I love solving problems, figuring things out. You give me a question or a problem to solve, you can lock me in an office for 48 hours, and I'm as happy as can be figuring out this problem by myself. That most likely for someone on the other end of the sparker type spectrum could be a very heavy lift. Because it's doing the work in service of others. So your sparker type suggests that you're more service driven. Nurture and sage, especially nurture, is very, very service driven. Of you get energized when you do work in service of others, when you care for others, when you support others, when you guide others. And without that part where you can be in service of others, work can become draining. Does that resonate?
So then, if you so using the similar example, if you put me in a room where I'm going to be doing some independent work, maybe on a computer all day without surfacing people, it's probably going to drive me crazy. And because oftentimes I don't like to be isolated from other individuals, right? So I wonder, that's something that I am definitely resonated with.
And that we can't always get all around one or the other at all, but just also being mindful of, like, okay, I know I need the service-driven time. So if I have to do an hour, like creating a website is very process-driven. It's I'm here by myself figuring out how this website works and putting words and colors on it. Very process-driven work. And it's like, okay, I can do this, but if I had three coaching sessions after, that would really fill my cup.
Yeah,
Does that,
totally. Yeah, that makes sense. So I'll chime in. So in addition to coaching, I am also studying part-time for my master degree in clinical counseling. My goal, My little tiny goal, it's actually to become a licensed therapist by 2027. And so just last week, I finished two of my summer courses, and then I felt great about it. And I remember one of the final assignment was actually like an independent research study that I have to put together. And, you know, going to what you've just shared earlier about how my emphasis is very service driven, when I'm putting together that research project, I actually found a way to be a little bit more creative by setting up like a study group where, you know, all the students and I, we can exchange ideas, brainstorm on how to tackle the research study, rather than me just sitting at the library, you know, going through books and try to do it on my own.
That's such a great way of tapping into what energizes you to do the work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Without knowing.
Yeah.
My spark type earlier.
It just comes natural. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I can see that being a therapist, that is really the work that you get to do all day, every day. It's right there. Sharing knowledge in order to guide people, help them. You see them, you're there for them, you've got them, you support them, you nurture them. So that seems to be a very fulfilling path for you in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Yay!
Yay! And I know when we talked last time, so until you are a therapist in 2027, you had like different ideas of how to structure your coaching and all of that till then. Are there open questions for you that we can maybe address from the Sparketype lens?
Yeah, definitely. So we were discussing earlier about my shadow being the sage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm finding myself in a position right now where I'm interested to supporting more people, making a bigger impact, rather than just offering like one-on-one mm-hmm. coaching support, okay? So the idea of, okay, well, perhaps there's a possibility that I can do it in a group through a workshop delivery, or potentially partner up with another coach who may already have like the framework, the processes already in place so that I don't have to build them from scratch,
yeah.
which can be very energy draining. I'd love to hear about like what are some of the possibilities out there that could be a complement to my spark type.
Yeah. And I love that idea or that insight that you just shared of if you had to build something from scratch, you could do it, but it would be the heavier lift, right? That building a business, building out a program or all of that could be a heavier lift versus the more time you can probably spend in the moment of teaching, coaching, you probably would be more alive than spending the majority of time on building out the structures around it. So partnering with coaches who already have that established and you step in as a coach, I think is a wonderful idea because then you can do the work. You don't have to do all the outside work, the process-driven right. work that is around it, and you can just step into the space and do what you do best.
Okay, amazing. Thank you.
One thought I had on that is how important is it for you to build long-term relationships? And that's different. Mm-hmm. There's no right or wrong. But some people, especially on the service-driven side, they're sparked when they can see the same client and support them through a longer period of time. And others are sparked, they're like, I can share knowledge once, and if they take something away from it, great, but I don't need that ongoing relationship to feel sparked. Is there a difference for you?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, over the last 20 years, I think what I have seen is I saw candidates coming back to me And we actually may have lost touch for an extensive period of time, but then all of a sudden, hey, you know, they came knocking on the door asking for help. And then the relationship kind of reestablished, right? Mm-hmm. So personally, I felt that was a really great encouragement, because somehow that is like an endorsement that, hey, you know, when we met for the very first time, there were some really great chemistry, and then I delivered great service, made an impact, and then they kind of went on their own path. And then, oh, when they need help, hey, I remember Cindy, let me go knock on her door and see if she can help me. And then the relationship reestablished, right? So I think personally, like I do value building long-term relationships. I think it's really important to me personally, mm-hmm. as I am a believer that's how we, you know, grow together. And yeah, I hope that I just gained some new clarity about myself. This is really interesting.
Good. Because that is also something I was thinking about, was if when you're a therapist, generally you have longer term relationships with clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My own therapy experience. And in coaching, when you go in as like when you deliver a one-time workshop, that will be a one-time thing. And just being clear, will that spark me if they got the tools out of the workshop and then they do their thing and maybe they come back a year later is another question. That could be really, really energizing. Or would there be something missing of like, oh, I would actually like to know 2 weeks or 3 weeks later of how are they doing, and would like to continue the relationship to feel really energized by it.
Yeah. No, I feel like for me personally, the energy doesn't come from being connected with the client all the time. I think the energy comes from, okay, knowing that they have all the tools that they need to propel themselves, then I feel like, okay, my job is done.
That's
right. And it's like, I may think about them 3 weeks or 4 weeks from now, but I also would respect the space, like, you know, to give them the autonomy to kind of do their own work, and then put the trust that, hey, you know, they will come back to me whenever they need.
I love that. And I think that is really clear of like, yes, if you do lean into facilitating workshops or supporting other coaches, because you have so much knowledge from your recruiting that is so needed in coaching programs, you could really lean into that. And how can I maximize the time that I spend coaching and supporting and nurturing others, and minimize the time that I have to build out all the structures around it?
Yeah. Yeah. This is really interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome. On another note, I know we have a lot of listeners listening in that might be going through this difficult job search, and there can be quite some frustrations around the process that involves recruiters. And I think it's so beautiful to talk to you and hear that recruiters really do care. I mean, obviously every recruiter is human, is different. I come out of recruiting as well. But you're such a beautiful example that there are recruiters that truly, truly care and want to help people. Tapping into that, can you share some words of wisdom or advice for people who are in that phase that they're struggling with and don't know how to keep going?
Definitely. So I would like to say, I have had experience those days where I thought, oh my goodness, like, this is probably the end of the world. Like, I will never find a job, right? And I can hear your pain, but at the same time, I'm hoping, you know, my message is going to encourage you, like, looking back. And I've always say this, the time and effort that you put in to navigate your career journey never stops. Like, you know, in fact, you actually have your entire lifeline to do that. Most people would think that it's often like a straight line, but the truth is it's not. It's a lot of detours, you know, pivots. We may even go in circles, but at the end of the day, you know, you will find your way. I truly, truly believe that. And then in hindsight, you know, fun fact, I was somebody who survived four layoffs. Yeah. And looking back, it's actually a blessing in disguise. Like it was in those moments where I, you know, found the new me, like found new values, gained more clarity, and, you know, recognized that, hey, you know, we're all here equipped with very unique skills to fulfill a plan which is bigger than we thought.
That is so beautiful, Cindy. And how inspirational that you went through such a difficult time, surviving four layoffs. That is a lot. And that is, it impacts you personally, right? If you want it or not, that is a really, really hard thing to go through. And to see that you were able to now look back and say, that was a blessing in disguise because it brought me to where I am now. And to in the middle of all the difficult time that you might be going through, to find like, maybe this is the universe telling me, or some higher force telling me of like, okay, maybe I need to reevaluate. Is this really where I want to be? Maybe it gives you that space to like, is there something I can do to lean more into what sparks me? And it can open up opportunities.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
And then just remember that recruiters are human. So whenever you reach out to a recruiter or talk to a recruiter, it is like a lot of times like you're talking to Cindy. It's absolutely beautiful human being on the other end of the phone who really cares. And that can also be really helpful to know in your job search that there's people who really care about you.
Great.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, Cindy. This was absolutely amazing. Where can people find you if they want to follow you, connect with you?
Yeah, definitely. So at this time, if you would like to find me, you can definitely find me on LinkedIn. So if you do a quick search on LinkedIn, type in my name, Cindy Chan, the keyword would be a recruiter turned career coach. That's my tagline, and I'm based out in Toronto, Canada. And so feel free to follow my content. I do my best to post regularly on topics such as job search tips and also information, ideas that I'm learning on my way to maintain a healthy mindset and mental health wellness.
That is so beautiful, Cindy. And I highly, highly recommend for everyone tuning in to follow Cindy Chan on LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn/career coach Cindy, or as Cindy said, simply type in Cindy Chan and look for recruiter turned career coach. She shares absolutely incredible information. I love your content. I'm a huge fan of all that you share. And if you want to also follow me, you can find me on Teresa White. So it's Teresa-A-White. Please follow me so you don't miss next week's Career Clarity Unlocked. And if you are looking for more clarity in your career, you are able to book a free consultation with me on careerbloomcoaching.com/consultation. And then I hope to see all of you back here next week for our next episode of Career Clarity Unlocked. Bye for now.